I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you, and I know certain things get under your skin. And one of the things lately that has been eating at you is the hype of these quarterbacks, whether it be Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and how everybody's just talking about them at the next level, and each week is a referendum on their entire careers and where they're going to end up in the NFL, and it just gets to the point where it's just hot air that is consuming everything, and the evaluation process is just like a joke at this point when you go from one week, he's going to be the number one pick and one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, to the next week, no, he's not ready, I don't think he's ever going to be able to do this, to the next week, oh, he's going to be a great quarterback, it's just too much.
Oh, I understand it's part of the business, and you have to try to pay it forward, but can we just stay in the moment and enjoy these guys right now? And yes, Sam Darnold had struggled. He threw 9 interceptions last year. He's right at 7 this year. He was without 3 offensive linemen last week. They're in the Palouse, on the Palouse versus Washington State in that loss, and it looked that way. He was running for his dear life numerous times and still made some dynamite throws in that ball game. But it's just amazing to me, you know, from just regular old cats on the street to, you know, broadcasters, whatever. What do you think about Darnold coming to Jets? I think nothing about it. I want to watch USC these next, you know, 7 to 8 ball games, and watch Josh Rosen and the rest of his ball games. We'll have plenty of time to evaluate and break down these quarterbacks once the season is over. I don't understand why everyone's in such a hurry to jump from October to, you know, end of April or May, whenever the NFL draft is. Can't you just chill out and enjoy college football season, enjoy your pro team, and let it play out?
Well, I'll tell you why. Now, I don't agree with the reasons why, but I'll tell you why. Is that there are teams right now that don't believe that they have a lot of hope in this season, and it's all about the future. And when we,
but the future's not here, G. Okay, I can understand that, but how can you worry about the future when all you have is today?
Because they want to have hope, and they want to feel something positive, and they want to think that this next guy is going to be the franchise quarterback that they haven't had. And we've heard about these guys more than the last couple quarterback classes. I mean, even last year, and it looks like Deshaun Watson, with the start of his career, is going to be here to stay. But even last year, you didn't hear about quarterbacks like you heard about these guys. And I think that fans, and the reason why I don't agree with the take of these fans is, like, think about the Jets, for example. I mean, right now, the Jets are 2 games better than the Giants. The Giants project to have a better draft choice than the New York Jets.
Right.
They're projected to be right there, the number one overall pick right now with the way that they've played. So we've heard about the Jet fans wanting Darnold so much. What if he ends up with the Giants?
Right.
You just don't know.
Exactly.
And you don't know if he's going to get hurt. You don't know if he's going to want to come back. You don't know if he's going to completely fall apart. That's why it's an exercise of futility. However, I do understand, though disagree, with the thought process of, please send me a life raft here.
Well, okay, why speculate if you don't know? He may opt to stay in school.
Right. And he probably should.
And who's to say that there someone else may emerge? No one had Carson Wentz on the radar a couple years ago when he was there in North Dakota. No one was talking about him. He turns out to get drafted higher than any of the quarterbacks in that class. So just chill out and let the season play out. And then once it's time for you to start evaluating what your team needs and who's out there, who's available, where you stand in the draft, you have plenty of time to go ahead and exercise those thoughts. But right now, I just think I don't understand why people can't just enjoy this for what it is, stay in the moment, enjoy the college football season, and then we'll sift through various players and your various team needs.
Yeah, I think why you get it here is because the Jets have been talked about as a team that was going to do nothing this year for months and months and
right.
months, and it's not a college football town. Like, New York City is not a college football town.
Right.
So That's why they're not enjoying the college football season as much, and they're just trying to pluck that quarterback
so
out.
So now you've got your hopes up high. This is going to be our guy. He may opt to stay in school or someone else drafts him. Then what do you do? What do you turn to then when you've built up all this anxiety, all this hope, and you've been wishing all season long, and now it comes to the point where your team is on the board and they cannot get the player that they wanted or that you wanted them to draft. What do you do then with all those emotions?
You channel them in a different direction, I guess, would be my answer. I don't know if that was a rhetorical question or not, but
no, that was not rhetorical. What do you do?
Yeah, you focus on something else, and you know.
Well, how about focus on something else right now?
That's impossible for them.
God,
well, the Jet fan should. I mean, they certainly should. I mean, if you're a Browns fan, then no. I mean, if you're a Chargers fan, then no. You're still going to be focusing on that stuff, especially if you're out there in L.A. or San Diego and two of those quarterbacks are right there that you're talking about so much in Darnold and Rosen. I mean, it's going to be very difficult. Phillip Rivers still has gas in the tank, no doubt. But if they go 2-14, they're going to be thinking about that. That's just what is the way that it is. So, I mean, I understand your frustration with it, but it's just not something that's going to change.
It's the frustration is everyone peppering me with questions about who's going to be the better quarterback, who's going to be the first pick. Hell, I don't know. If I knew that, I'd be sitting in a casino somewhere, man, counting my riches.
Right.
Who knows? Because it's changed. It changes so much. It's such a fluid situation. As you just outlined, it's week to week, game to game. 1 week this guy may have played better than this guy. And each team looks at this so differently. You know, what we may covet, they look at with disdain. You know, so it's all about the eye of the beholder. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And at this point, it's just too early to engage in this process.
For the guys who have gotten opportunities that have been drafted high, most of them have been working out, at least in recent memory. Jared Goff last year,
looked
of course.
Great the other day, didn't he?
But yeah, last year did not. This year has been amazing under Sean McVay. So you've got him, you've got Carson Wentz, who's been pretty good from the get-go. Now you've got Deshaun Watson, who has performed at an unbelievably high level the last couple of weeks. And we'll see Mitch Trubisky in his first start on Monday Night Football, so there's going to be some pressure on him to perform certainly as well. So, I mean, it's good to see that, though, because how many times have we seen these highly touted quarterbacks just flame out? You know, the Akili Smiths, the Christian Ponders, the list goes on and on and on. So now that we've got a couple of young guys that are coming in and playing well right away in the last couple of draft classes, with more guys to come. I mean, Pat Mahomes is not going to see the field right now because Alex Smith is playing like one of the top five quarterbacks in the game, but he's in waiting. Trubisky's going to get his shot now. I mean, the fact that we've, and Goff and Wentz and the way that they've played is, I mean, it's a good thing to see because nothing sets a franchise back more than, and even Deshaun Kizer, I mean, even though he had a terrible game against Cincinnati, he's at least shown something, but nothing sets a franchise back more than missing in the first round in the top 15 pick on a quarterback. I mean, you go in reverse for five years.
That's the piece you need. You need that piece. You need the piece up front to protect him. And then from there, you can build the rest of your football team. But if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how many explosive players you have on the outside or in the backfield. If you can't find a quarterback who's going to take care of the rock, can't find an offensive line that's going to block for them, you're going to be in trouble. And we've seen that with the Cleveland Browns forever now. And it was another team that was right behind them. Maybe it was Chicago they were showing last week that has had damn near as many starting quarterbacks there for their franchise as Cleveland has.
Yeah.
So it's a hard
– Minnesota, too.
Yeah, Minnesota's been there. It's a hard position to figure out. And when you hit on one like Cowboys last year with Dak Prescott, with fourth, fifth round, they drafted him, man, you count your blessings because it's so difficult.
So this Thursday night game is also another intriguing one. When you had last Thursday night, you had Green Bay and Chicago, which is just a great rivalry, and you get to watch Aaron Rodgers, and that's always fun. And then this week you got New England and Tampa.
Yeah.
So, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't know exactly what they are yet. I don't
have an identity.
No, and Dirk Cutter probably doesn't know what they are either right now. And this is a tough situation to host the Patriots in, but I really do think that they have just as good of a shot of winning this game as any other with the way the Patriots' defense is played. And we're talking about a short week and that. But what I don't understand about Tampa is, all right, you got a Giants team that played a hell of a lot better in the second half of the week prior against Philadelphia Eagles, who came in playing better on the road, and you warded them off even though you got up big. And the first week that we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they shut out the Chicago Bears. Defense looked great. The offense was good enough. But they lost and just got their asses kicked in Minnesota by Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings, which I can't figure out at all. So we'll see. This will be a real test for both of these teams. I think we learn a lot about both of them on Thursday night.
No, I would agree. I don't know what to think about the offense nor the defense. I know you get Doug Martin back, the muscle hamster there for Tampa. And defensively, Lavonte David, their best linebacker, he didn't play a week ago. So I don't know if this defense can hold up against Tom Brady and his weapons. Most defenses can't, and they're posting large numbers. So they haven't really been affected on that side of the ball. With the loss of Julian Edelman, like the defense has been affected with the departures over there. So no identity, and now can your defense apply some pressure to Brady? Can they cover these guys, you know, from Hogan to Cooks and Gronkowski? I can see the Patriots. I see the Patriots going in there and winning this ballgame. If they don't win, it's going to have to be a shootout. If this defense for the Patriots don't get the things corrected, and I just see this as a communication issue. I don't think it's anything to do with talent or deficiencies in that area. It's just communication, and these guys are trying to learn to play with each other, and they're learning a new scheme, and it's on the fly. And as much as we talk about these quarterbacks and how they see these bland defenses during the regular the preseason, the same for on the defensive side. You don't see all the different nuances and wrinkles of these offenses until you get into the regular season. And now you got some new pieces out there on the defensive side for Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, and Belichick. And now they're trying to communicate on the fly, and you're having bust after bust. And that's something we don't ordinarily witness with Patriots defenses.
Yeah, and we really saw that Patriots defense crumble the week before against Deshaun Watson, and then backed it up against the Tennessee Titans. And if Deshaun Watson continues to play like this, I've got big questions about what the hell Bill O'Brien was thinking in the first week of the season, not starting him. If he continues to be this good, now I know when he came in that game, he looked okay and then wasn't that great after that in the second half of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're telling me that Deshaun Watson keeps this up in the way that he's playing, how do you miss that?
It doesn't bother me that he didn't start him in the first game. You wanted to go with the guy you knew, and that's Tom Savage. I think in the back of his mind, he knew Deshaun Watson was the better option. But let's start here. Let Savage do his thing. He didn't look great. Now I can thrust Deshaun Watson into the starting role, and I'm not going to take any heat for that. Now, if you thrust him in there and he doesn't play well in that first ball game, people are like, why are you playing a rookie? You got Savage. He's proven, at least in one game a year ago, and he has the backing of your number one receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, and so why didn't you go with him? And he would have caught holy hell for that. So I like the way he's been able to direct the attention away from Deshaun Watson, let him go out there and start after Savage falters. And the bigger question is, what was Savage's agent talking about when he went after Deshaun Watson?
Haven't heard from him in a couple
weeks. No, nothing. Did he have anything to say last week?
No, nothing.
Quiet as a church mouse. Yeah.
Right.
Think Bill O'Brien made the right decision.
So no Ninkovich out there, Mike? Ninkovich turns into nincompoop.
Yeah, nincompoop.
He may be on the phone with the Patriots, because my first question was going to be, have the Patriots reached out and attempted to entice you to come back?
If they haven't, they probably should.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of shape he kept himself in the offseason, because that's a big factor, right?
He said to us, you know, I don't have to worry about lifting all those weights anymore, and there's a huge weight off of my shoulders and my brain because the game is so mentally taxing. And probably even more so when you're playing for the Patriots. So all that stress is gone as far as playing in the National Football League. So I'm sure he's relaxed somewhat and not working out in such a manner as he was to keep his body in optimal shape.
You bummed out about this one, Mike?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, me too. Oh. That was a good spot. It's a good idea.
You work hard for these and then...
Yeah.
Okay. There's still time in the show, so two more segments.
He's supposed to call you?
No, I've been texting with
him. Oh, you've been texting?
You've been texting with him?
Yeah. Well, not this morning. But we did, what is today, Wednesday. We did Monday. We texted, all set. And then yesterday, just at night, little reminder. Didn't hear back, but, you know.
Oh.
Mm. That's not unusual.
Well, maybe he's working out.
Yeah.
Phone off, and he's pumping iron. Get back out there.
Do you, when you're working out, you have your phone on?
What? Excuse me?
When you worked out in the past? Because
of course, yeah.
That bothers me. Me. And you're working out, work out. You don't need your phone.
Oh, but I would use it to listen to
me. Unless you got a kid, you know, and you got to be on call or something. But if you're working out, work out. I see people in the yoga studio with phone right there by the mouth. Why do you need your
phone? They have the phone. Sometimes they play the music off the phone.
Sometimes you play the music, right. But I'm yoga class.
Oh, you don't
need the music.
No,
the instructor has the music.
All right. We will come back, maybe with Ninkovich, maybe not. But we've got more show for you, so don't go anywhere.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Travis Kelce, man, with his touchdown dance.
Oh, that was ugly.
Oh, it was great.
That was
a good one.
That set y'all back, man.
What, white people?
Yep. You're better than that.
Are we?
That was not a credit to your race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought differently. I really did. Remember that horrible reality show he did? Travis Kelce?
I recall you telling me about it. I never watched it.
Oh.
No. Whatever. Are they done? Is it over?
Yeah, I think so. It's just a dating show.
I saw a new show. I don't know how new it is. It was new to me. You guys know how I am. But Hip Hop Squares. Take off of Hollywood Squares?
Oh, really?
Hip Hop Squares.
Word?
Word, dog! Yeah!
Wow.
Hip Hop Squares. I'm going to check that out again. I was rushing to go to work, TV work, and so I didn't get to partake of a lot of it, but I'm going to have to check that out.
Black Guy TV show reference.
Yeah, yeah.
What channel was that on?
VH1, I believe.
BET?
No. They have a lot of black people on VH1, man.
Well,
isn't that
they?
Where all those Love and Hip Hop shows are VH1, isn't it?
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop's VH1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
very progressive.
Very, very, yeah. They have diversity on that channel. So some of us black folk, you know, the ones that are not getting handouts, we have some money.
So how about, spend it. This is kind of a coincidence. We were just talking about Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien's choice not to start him in week one.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan McCredden, who was the program director for our affiliate in Houston.
Yeah.
The guy who actually took us in the Sports Talk Radio draft. Remember that?
Yeah. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, he drafted us. And he said that this was something that they found out on their station via an interview they did. But how Bill O'Brien wanted to start Deshaun Watson week two of the preseason, but the general manager talked him out of it. So it wasn't Bill O'Brien who was the guy who said Tom Savage is the guy. It was rather the general manager that said too early.
Rick Smith, I believe, isn't this?
That is his name, Rick Smith, yeah.
And I wonder why he wanted to go that route.
Maybe he thought he wasn't ready.
Hmm.
Wasn't real. Bill O'Brien, the quarterback guru that he is, he knew.
He knew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because we hadn't even brought that up when that email came in.
So he emailed you?
He emailed Spitz, our boss.
Uh-huh.
Spitz emailed Mike. Mike emailed me, and I just said it.
So he was listening to the show, and he said, okay, let me let these guys in.
No, he wasn't listening to the show. Oh. He just sent it out. It was just a coincidence.
Oh.
How about that?
Why are you looking at me like that, bogus?
I wasn't looking at you. I was reacting to you, but I wasn't looking at
you. Why were you reacting that way?
Because everyone else knew the story three explanations earlier than you did.
I'll get the bat, Brian.
Would you please?
So he was listening?
One of my favorite things, too, is it's got to be really funny for the listeners where I'll start a segment, and then I'll ask a question, and then you'll be distracted by something. You go, say that again. Whereas everybody else who's listening heard it,
I'm asking the question. Did you, in your original statement, did you say email Spitz, and that is that how you started it?
I did say that it was just a random coincidence that he sent this email.
Oh, you did say
yes.
It was coincidence. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Excuse me? Yeah. Pardon me? I'm sorry. Bogus, I'm going to stab you. I hurt you really bad. This is abuse, man. This is just, you guys are wrong, man. I mean, you're going to get it.
At least we have our Yankees, Brian. Hook him, by God.
I think I'll stab myself.
No, come on.
Stick yourself.
All right, Bogus, what's happening?
Yeah, Bogus, you better make a mistake. Yeah.
Here we go again. Greg, you and I did our job spooking Luis Severino into allowing two homers and three runs in the first inning of the AL wildcard game last night, but then Irvin Santana and the Twins let us down. So Mike's Yankees won 8-4 and will face Cleveland in the ALDS starting tomorrow night. The New York rally began with D.D. Gregorius' three-run shot, bottom one. It included a two-run laser from Aaron Judge and a postseason record-tying 13 strikeouts from four Yankee relievers. Joe Girardi got 6 outs from Chad Green, 10 from David Robertson, and 7 from Tommy Kahnle.
You know, I pushed some guys a little bit further than I would like tonight, but, you know, it's win or go home, and that's why I did it.
The Twins have now lost a record-tying 13 straight playoff games. That goes way back to 2004. Heads up, though, says second baseman Brian Dozier.
Are we satisfied? Absolutely not. But I'm very proud of these guys and the way we battled this year and competed. It's unbelievable.
You know that Didi's real first name is Marikson? Marikson Julius Gregorius. Mm. That would really throw John Sterling for a loop, huh? Because his home run call is yes and Didi. What the hell do you do with Marikson?
Marikson Julius.
Marikson Julius.
That is so cool.
Schmulius.
Mm.
What do you do?
Yes.
Yeah, Marikson Smack of a bitch. Like, what do you do? I don't understand. Well, he does Gregorius is glorious, I think.
Yeah, and Euphorious.
That's what it is, Euphorious, not glorious. They're Euphorious for Gregorius, I think. Marikson.
Action Marikson? How do you say it?
I think it's Marikson.
Marikson?
Well, shoot. Hold on. It's right here. Marikson, Marikson.
Julius.
Marikson Julius. Yeah.
Maybe something with Julius more so.
A2 Marikson? He would have a bottom line is he would have a tough time with that.
I don't even want to. I shouldn't even think where he would go with that. Yeah, no.
I kind of want.
Just stick with Didi, man. Stick with Didi.
All right.
Mm-hmm. The NL wildcard game takes its turn tonight. Arizona hosting Colorado with a date with the Dodgers at stake. Nats ace Max Scherzer says he'll pitch in the NLDS with the Cubs. Just doesn't know which game yet. Scherzer tweaked his right hamstring in his final regular season start on Saturday. The Tennessee Titans reportedly signing the legendary Brandon Whedon with starting QB Marcus Mariota nursing a strained hamstring. Matt Cassel would start Sunday in Miami if Mariota cannot. Carmelo Anthony played for the Thunder for the first time last night, and it doesn't sound like he missed the Knicks all that much.
Being happy out there on the court again, being excited, being motivated to be out there on the court again, is back for me. Like, that feeling is back for me.
Melo,
It's back for him.
Vindicated.
Yeah.
Melo scored 19 alive. Points in a 104-97 loss to the Rockets in Tulsa. And Marcus and Markeith Morris have been acquitted of charges they helped beat up a former acquaintance outside a high school game in Phoenix back in January.
A former acquaintance, though?
Yeah, been told to beat up.
They beat up
your acquaintance, and then.
But I feel like that's an acquaintance. Can an acquaintance be someone you don't like, though, too?
I think so.
Because you can be a former friend. Like, we're not friends anymore, but an acquaintance, I don't know. Like that's we've been acquainted together.
I guess.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But anyway, good for the Morris twins.
Yeah, good for them.
That they were acquitted from this.
Yeah.
Bad for Bogus, though, because this morning we're getting ready for the show.
Mom? I'm coming. Hold on.
We're out there getting ready for the show, and I see Bogus grab this bowl of chili that's in the newsroom in some sort of makeshift crock pot that's been plugged in. And I'm like, what in the hell is he doing? He takes his bowl of chili into the studio where Amy Lawrence is doing her After Hours program and then has this whole, whatever you want to call it, a chummy acquaintance conversation with Amy Lawrence about her chili. Let's listen to this.
Hi, Andrew Bogus.
Mm. Amy, good morning. I made you some chili.
You made me some chili.
I put some chickpeas in it. It was a wild card. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm really looking forward to it. How do you like it with the chickpeas?
I haven't had any just yet.
You actually came in here without trying it. After
I want you
refused
to
be enthusiastic. Oh, you're trying it right now?
It's a live taste test.
Wait a minute. There's no chili in there. There's like two spoonfuls.
I'm not going to eat a whole bowl of chili at 5:30 in the morning. It's a tasting. Exactly.
It's chickpea chili Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
can't wait.
See what I mean?
It is cold.
Oh my gosh. You're not evaluating my chili on two cold bites. That's not happening.
It is good.
No.
Good spice. No, listen. Good spice. The chickpea actually is better than I thought it was going to be.
It's in a crock pot. Why don't you just turn it on?
I didn't know how to do that. I thought I just had to eat it, not cook it as well.
You didn't? Oh my gosh, you're a baby. I have to hold your hand through everything.
Mm. No, it's mm-hmm. it's good.
It's really cold. Is. No one eats cold chili.
Good. I just didn't. It's good.
Man, she wants you.
No joke.
It's called Stockholm Syndrome, guys.
Honey, hey, baby, put your mom on the phone. Honey, I'm never coming back.
Hi, Andrew Bogish.
Oh, ooh, wow.
Hi, Andrew
Bogish. Goodness.
I didn't hear that live. You want some, you third want, time around.
You want some of my chili?
Yeah, you are so full of it.
Updates down the hall.
Lapping up that chili.
Hi, Andrew Bogish.
You just set our relationship back, man. I just want you to know that.
What are you doing, man?
Yes, you.
What am I doing? I'm avoiding danger.
What do you mean by that?
Do you know the hell I would have paid if I didn't try the chili?
Really? She would have been that upset about it?
I would have never heard the end of it.
That's
ridiculous. It's chickpea chili Wednesday.
So why give in to that type of behavior?
Because I made Tom DiBenedetto and Isaac Feldman, the other captives, I made them laugh for those 5 minutes.
The other
captives. I was doing it for my... my friends.
It's chickpea chili Wednesday.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a no.
They love the amuse-bouche line.
Chickpea chili Wednesday. No alliteration, at least. Mm. Oh, man.
Bogus. Hi, Andrew Bogish.
What's up, girl?
Hi, Andrew Bogish.
You know who's got a crush on Amy is Calhoun. Downstairs.
What?
Yeah.
Now that's a thing.
The one that can't talk.
That's to be pursued.
Well, that's a real thing. So Calhoun, all the way. So that guy who does picks for us on Fridays of Coop and
he
Calhoun.
He shared that with you?
He shared it with Mikey B.
He shared it with Ike Feldman, who shared it with me.
Who emailed Spitz from our Houston affiliate.
He was
and
listening?
Just randomly, by coincidence. Excuse me. So,
hey. Who's next?
So anyway, so Calhoun. So I've heard him listen to Amy when I'm coming in to work, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. You know, he's got to stream it because we're not on here, so it's easy for him to listen to WFN if he wants to listen to sports. He's listening to Amy. I was like, mm-hmm. That's interesting. I guess it's kind of cool. So I'm going to listen to the network in New York. Then I find out the reason he's doing it, big crush, Calhoun.
It's all the way.
All the way. He'd like to go all the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's make this happen. Mm.
Well, she doesn't want to hear from me. Nor Brian.
I'll do it. I'll let her down easy.
You have to do it.
You should have made some chili for Calhoun downstairs.
Hi, Andrew Bogish.
Yeah.
Did you give your secret admirer, Calhoun, some of your chickpea chili?
It's all the way.
Oh, thank you, Amy. I will eat this chili all the way to the bottom.
Coop does not approve.
Coop doesn't like it?
No, it doesn't like it.
So Coop, the other half of Coop and Calhoun, the security guards in the morning here, why doesn't Coop like it?
Coop.
He said a word I can't say on the radio, but he said it.
I'm lost again. He doesn't like the chickpea chili, or he doesn't like the fact that Calhoun has the...
The Calhoun crush.
So he doesn't like Amy, or he doesn't like his friend cheating on him with Amy? What's the problem?
He doesn't like the crush.
Interesting.
And never mind.
Those
well,
two.
No.
What did we stumble on down there?
It's amazing. This morning I come in, Coop is just passed out in the chair, right? So Calhoun is up from the desk, and Coop's got his head all the way to the side. He's snoring. So Calhoun sees me, he goes, good morning. And then Coop goes, wakes up from the thing, just totally
not
stunned.
You fool, go back to sleep.
Right. How about Coop blew us off? I wanted him to have him go on TV and do the picks on WFAN last week. And he wouldn't do it. He would not do it. He did not want to be on television. Even Boomer Esiason himself said Coop come up.
So, wow.
What, you got? Feel like you got information on
that? No, I feel like I could have persuaded him upstairs.
Mm. I didn't want to do that to you, though, because you
were...
Yeah, because
he didn't know us last week, so why would he want to come and interact with us?
I didn't want to give you extra work, because that's not fair.
He removed himself.
I didn't want to boss somebody around, go and get him. But I went down there myself, and he was like, I don't know, I'll see. If I'm up there, I'm up there. And I'm like, okay. And then he didn't show up. Yeah. So whatever. It was fine. We had Brian instead, who was much more articulate. So even though Brian, I think, worked in a hoppada in that segment as well.
A hoppada. Boomba a hoppada. In translation, that means that's your ass. Hoppada. That's Swahili for I take the giant.
I can't wait for Calhoun to ask Amy out. Would you like to go all the way to the coffee shop?
It's all the way.
And all the way.
We have...
Once you go black, you never go back.
We make a sweet sex together. No? Okay, well, can you blame a brother for trying?
It's all the way.
You ever go out with a fire marshal? No.
Put out your fire.
Oh, Calhoun. Well, best of luck for him and all of that great stuff. No Ninkovich, huh?
No Ninkovich.
Damn. Gets worse for the Patriots.
Oh, I've got a fight that would have been great in the 1980s that might happen in 2017.
Cool.
We'll tell you about that next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones. On CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Out of all these people that we have asked for repeatedly that seem impossible to get, which is the one that you would like to get on the show the most? Because we have asked for many people now, and we said, get this guy, get that guy. It'd be great if we had this person on the show. Is there one that you try harder for than the others that would be your crowning moment? You reaching the summit of Everest as a radio producer, that person would be who?
Designer.
It would be?
Sports-wise, Adam Silver. I want him.
That's not that big of a deal. He does radio shows all the time.
What's up with that, yeah,
Adam
dog?
Silver.
Right down the street.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I think he'd be interesting.
Okay, well, why haven't we...
He would be interesting.
Why haven't we gotten him?
He talks all the time, has press conferences. That's not interesting.
That's not interesting?
No. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad guest, but I don't know. Haven't we had Bettman? Do we have Bettman on? No, just Manfred, right?
Manfred.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be okay, but that would be your big fish.
Sports-wise.
You like the NBA too much. I like the NBA a lot. You like it too much.
Dang.
Talking about Caris LeVert in studio with the Nets and Adam Silver's your big fish.
Russell Westbrook was another one.
That would be better than Silver.
Yeah, that would be better.
Russell Westbrook. He would be much better. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Cool Mark 72.
Cool Mark.
Hey, man.
What's up, dog?
He says, can
he's lamping.
Yeah, you lamping Cool Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Can a successful non-scholarship athlete who has opted to pay for their own schooling make money while in college?
If they've opted to pay for their own schooling, I believe they can.
Really?
We'll have to check that. But I believe they can, because you've had baseball players, guys that opted for baseball, they're recruited to play football, they go and sign with a Major League Baseball team, don't make it to the big leagues, and then they come back and accept scholarship, I think, though. I think the ones I'm thinking of, like Quan Cosby at Texas, Ricky Williams at Texas. You got Hayden Hurst who's with the South Carolina Gamecocks currently. That's a great question. Now, if they opt to pay for their own, they should be able to do whatever the hell they want, but under NCAA rules, they may be...
probably not. You're telling
me... Maybe denied, even though they're paying for their own education. I cannot truthfully answer that question.
But what kid, though, is going to be... I mean, you have to get money from somewhere.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why you've had these guys who made money in baseball.
Right.
And they didn't get to the big leagues, and now they come back and play college football. Quan Cosby did that. Ricky Williams was at a baseball contract.
Yeah, a
even
question.
Russell Wilson. You know, he was making money. I think he was in the Texas Rangers system. And this Hayden Hurst now with South Carolina, he played professional baseball. Of course, didn't make it to the big club, but still made a nice little chunk of change. And I don't know if he's on scholarship or not. But if you're paying for your own schooling, you should not be denied the ability to make money off your likeness. But I believe NCAA covers all that, whether it's a scholarship you've earned or your foot in the bill.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. In one of the weirdest fight challenges I have heard of ever, George Foreman, who I haven't heard about him say anything in a long time, tweeted out, quote, Steven Seagal, I challenge you one-on-one. I use boxing. You can use whatever. 10 rounds in Vegas. Now, at the time that I saw this, it was retweeted 18,000 times. Liked 45,000 times. Would you pay pay-per-view to see George Foreman and Steven Seagal in a ring for 10 rounds?
Would I pay?
Yeah.
Heck no, I wouldn't pay.
Would you watch?
I'd watch. I'd want George Foreman to whip his butt.
Would you?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Steven Seagal outside.
Well, he just came out last week and NFL players are disgusting. Here's a cat that has been living over in Russia forever. He's a Russian citizen now, and he got nerve to opine on what's going on here. Shut up.
Is that why George Foreman called him out?
I believe so.
Yeah, yes. I hadn't thought about Steven Seagal in 20 years.
I'm with you. Yeah, he looks like a cartoon character now.
Well, he does. That's what people are saying, that South Park used to make fun of Steven Seagal. And the drawing that they did of him is the exact look that he has now. And they did that years ago.
Oh, that's from...
He looks exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. So he bought into that character, huh?
Look right here. See?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is him, spot on. Yeah.
I know.
I wasn't aware what was going on with him until he injected himself into this recent debate.
What other washed up actor combination would we like to see in the ring?
Stallone, who's still in incredible shape, versus Bernard Hopkins. What?
Not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Let's do it. Stallone has to be in his 60s, right?
Right.
And Hopkins, 50-something.
How about Mike Tyson and Mickey Rourke?
Ooh. Okay. Cool with that.
Tyson's going to beat everybody.
Has Mickey Rourke done anything since The Wrestler, which was
a
great movie?
It was a great movie. It was perfect in that movie.
Outstanding.
You like that movie, Pete?
That was very well done.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei looking tremendous in her range, too.
Very well done.
Yes. I'm trying to think who else would fit the bill here. Washed up boxer who can still move around. Evander Holyfield. And Kirk Cameron.
Oh, man, I was going to say his name. Evander Holyfield and, God, I can see his face. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Nicolas Cage still doing stuff, though.
Is he?
I don't know how washed up Nicolas Cage is.
I haven't seen him in a while. Okay.
I don't know how washed up.
Danny DeVito. And quit laughing, man. Danny DeVito and I'm trying to think of a boxer his size.
Yeah, there's not good stuff.
Right. There's no gnomes out there boxing. I mean, even the featherweights are probably bigger than DeVito. Not as wide.
PDB said Manny Pacquiao, but he's still boxing.
No, he's still boxing.
Still boxing, Pete.
Hurt an actor, man.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Boom Boom Mancini.
Boom Mancini.
Jerry Stiller.
Oh, wow. Jerry Stiller's too old to get in there.
Yeah, man.
Boom Boom's not that old, is he? I don't think he can be that old.
Uh-uh.
How about Lennox Lewis?
You need to get somebody killed now.
No. We can think of a good one. Lennox Lewis. And who was that dude in Friday? You actually know him.
Debo. Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Both washed up, both large.
Tony Tiny Lister.
Tweet us your thoughts at Gio and Jones.
Paulie Shore.
Okay, Paulie Shore, good washed up one. You got to give me a boxer now, Mike. This is the way this works. You can't just throw out one. You got to have both matchups.
Boom Boom Mancini.
No, you can't. You just use them.
Can't regurgitate that. We already used him.
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
How about Teddy Atlas? I'd love to see Teddy Atlas knock out Paulie Shore.
Yeah, Teddy Atlas much older, though. We got to get somebody. Teddy Atlas, and who was the dude in here that came in? He was in Taxi.
Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch. T- Teddy Atlas.
He was in where?
Judd Hirsch.
Oh, that's right. We did have Judd Hirsch in there. Yeah.
That's the worry. We got to stop there. Nothing's going to be
that's
better.
That's it.
Teddy Atlas.
We get our boy Bobby Moynihan's. But he's not washed up. So,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a weird interview.
You think?
That was a weird interview. I thought he was going to be a lot funnier than he was.
Mm.
He seemed like he was uncomfortable with...
With us?
Doing, not with us, just with doing press in general.
You guys were funnier than he was.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
He did laugh at a lot of things we said, even the non-funny stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't do a great job promoting that show. I gotta admit. Now that he's gone, it's we're like a couple weeks removed, I feel comfortable in saying this.
Bobby Moynihan and Butterbean.
Is Butterbean still alive?
But Bobby Moynihan's not washed up, though. He might be if this thing fails.
Butterbean.
I thought he did all right. I mean, he doesn't have to come here and jump through hoops, but he was a... Okay.
Kevin Frazier was more excited from Entertainment Tonight than
yeah,
Bobby
he was. He was.
Yeah. Maybe he was taken aback by us. I mean, some people, they come in here and they're like, damn, these dudes crazy.
No.
No?
This guy worked on Saturday Night Live for 12
yeah,
years.
Yeah, but you come in, you're thinking radio, they're going to be a bunch of stiffs, they're going to ask me stupid questions.
Stop it.
No?
Well, he admitted that he was uncomfortable with doing press and answering questions, stuff like that. So why they trotted him out to do the interviews, I'm not so sure.
And you and Bogus were mean. I'm trying to ease him into this thing and talk to him prior to us coming back on air. And y'all were tripping.
What were we
screaming
doing?
Screaming at me. Why are you talking to him? Quit talking to him.
That's
you
right,
talked
yeah.
the whole break. Trying to get
you
to acclimated to our climate.
Climate acclimation?
Yes.
You didn't know he was coming in studio.
Who asked you anything?
It's true. You were like, oh, hey, Bobby Moynihan. I didn't know you were coming up in this.
So?
I thought your ass was on the phone.
What's that to do to anything, Mike?
What are
I
you
told
doing
you
here?
20 to 25 times he was coming in.
He's like, you need a phone to call us from? You going to just do the interview?
Man, I can't stand you. I'm going home. Forget you guys.
I love you, Brian. I really do.
I'm going to help.
No thanks to Rob Nincompoop. Who blew us off. But thanks to Mikey B, PDB, Bogus, and Billy Jockey Lone. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.